Hello, ladies. Why do you think God has left us Christians in the world? Merely for fellowship with one another? No, we could do that in heaven, couldn't we? Listen to what Jesus said in John 17:20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Evidently, Christ was saying that our fellowship of love, equipping the saints, building up the body of Christ, and keeping one another sharp is a corporate witness, a magnet for drawing the lost to him. And Satan has certainly hit this fellowship spoke hard so as to destroy the love and unity, which is a bridge over which the world can walk to salvation. Let's look at some of the aspects of fellowship and witnessing. What do you think makes an effective witness? Someone said, witnessing is simply taking a good look at the Lord Jesus Christ and then going out and telling people what you saw. So we can see that the primary qualification of a witness is that he be able to witness about what he has seen and heard. That means that he must know Christ as Savior and Lord and be assured of it. Let me give you five principles that should govern our behavior with non-Christians. First of all, we need to be involved with them without sinning with them. A second principle is that we need to relate at a point of their need. A witness is one who cares. It is my prayer that as long as I live, no one in the realm of my acquaintance will be able to say what was said in Psalm 142:4. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Or as it's paraphrased in the Living Bible, no one gives me a passing thought. No one will help me. No one cares a bit what happens to me. Ladies, we need to be concerned, but not conformed. The third principle, we need to demonstrate the reality of Christ with our lives. In Acts 4:13, the people looking on at Peter and John said they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. There was a Christ-likeness about Peter and John. Their association with the Lord Jesus displayed itself in their lives. And so it is with an effective witness. Fourthly, we need to take advantage of the opportunities that would arouse curiosity. We can arouse curiosity by what we do. Jesus did when he asked the woman at the well for a drink. Our reaction to praise, frustration, failure, pain, and suffering, as they reflect the grace of the Lord, also often gives rise to questions from others. We need to learn to be aggressive in conversation without being obnoxious. You know, as fishers of men, we're not supposed to jump out of the boat and choke the fish with our bait, but we are supposed to throw the bait out to test for interest. Think about questions that people asked you for a moment. Do you suppose that you could use them as a springboard for witnessing if in advance you worked out a good answer? The last principle governing our behavior with non-Christians is that we should be ready to share Christ. 1 Peter 3:15. In building bridges of friendship, we must ultimately get to the point. And by the way, witnessing is the result of a relationship. Your friendship with God will overflow into your friendships with others. Ladies, if these principles make sense to you, start using them right today. Realize that the greatest favor we can do for a fellow human being is to introduce him or her to the Lord Jesus Christ. The last spoke now on the wheel is fellowship. How would you describe effective fellowship? I think of just one word, unity. And you know, God puts a higher priority on our unity or resolved conflicts than on our worship, according to Matthew 5:23 and 24, and Matthew 18:15. In Ephesians 4:3 in the Phillips translation, God's mandate for unity in our fellowship with one another is this: make it your aim to be at one in the Spirit, and you will inevitably be at peace with one another. Conflicts are subtle, and so are the walls that we build to keep people out. This is very destructive to unity. Unity equals communication plus transparency. The issue of fellowship is, how do we deal with each other? Of course, there'll be Christians who have many problems in the realm of our fellowship. How do you treat them? Identify with them. Help them. Sometimes Christians don't want to identify with so-called outcast Christians. But Romans 12:16 in the Living Bible asks us not to look just to the elite for fellowship. It says, work happily together. Don't try to act big. Don't try to get into the good graces of important people, but enjoy the company of ordinary folks. And don't think you know it all. Would you be willing to let God choose your friends according to their needs? God knows how to pick the best friends. Many of us, I think, fail to achieve meaningful fellowship because we don't have an understanding of how to stay in harmony with those we approach. In a book called Caring Enough to Confront, there are 5 routes to take in dealing with conflicts. The first is the I win, you lose route. Second one is, I'm uncomfortable, so I'll just get out. Third is, I'll yield to be nice to you because I need your friendship. And fourth is sort of the 50-50 approach. You know, maybe we can come up with a meeting of the minds sort of thing. But you know, ladies, all of these will only produce more tension. But there is yet another way, and this is God's way. Ephesians 4:25 says, speak the truth in love. That's what caring enough to confront is all about. Speaking the truth in love. That's God's way to resolve conflicts and to promote unity in the fellowship of believers.